Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Pit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
with the chief commander
on this earth
and then in the world we can't see.
It's not clear to me that I think there will exist a general purpose device that does everything you want, because I don't think the whole world's going to be able to afford 5 devices per person in the bubble of Terranea.
Oh,
no.
Sorry.
Don't step on the one. You gotta start on the 2. Find the 2, you understand?
I told you I never did any of these dances before.
Now it's 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now when music starts, you don't dance till the 2. You got it? Nice. Breathe. Frank?
Wilson!
Wilson, where are you?
Swimming.
Wilson!
Here comes the music right now.
Wilson!
3, 2, and 1. Go!
Wilson, where are you?
Gentlemen.
It's a feeling. A heartbeat.
I have a plan. It's called blackmail. As you know, the royal family of Britain are the wealthiest landowners in the world. Either the royal family pays us an exorbitant amount of money, or we make it seem that Prince Charles has had an affair outside of marriage and therefore would have to divorce.
What up? What up? What up? What up? What up?
Right, okay, what people, up? You have to tell me these things, all right? I've been frozen for 30 years, okay? Throw me a freaking bone here. I'm the boss. Need the info.
Tell me how both of those thoughts can exist. How can you believe that your government is oh so powerful that they're able to wreck the entire world? You can also fight them with your AK-47. Please explain that.
Hello. Welcome to the Friday Squid Bag.
Squid bag. It's happening.
Bag full of squid.
It's also an octopus.
It's a cephalopod. Get it?
No, what's that?
Cephalopodcast.
Cephala?
Cephalopod is the type, the genus.
Of the squid?
Of the squid and octopus? And the octopus, yeah.
What else is in there?
Member of the molluscan class. Squid, octopus, cuttlefish, or Nautilus?
Cephala? How do you spell cephala?
It's with a C. C-E-P-H. Yeah. A low podcast.
Oh, cephalopod. Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow, that's clever.
I'm glad that the cleverness clicked in eventually. I'm glad that I didn't make a cuttlefish joke first. That might not have landed as well.
It's my type of humor.
Science.
Cuttlefish.
Animals.
That's a nautilus. Wow. What a
nautilus is like big old squid, right?
Look at this. This is fascinating stuff.
A nautilus is, I'm not sure if we deal with those too much, but it's the real deal.
Wow. Well, you learned something
that big.
New every
No, they're
day.
Tiny. Never mind. They're like, I mean, they kind of look like shrimp that are in a shell, the nautilus.
Yeah. I see. Pretty cool. Interesting. What's up?
What's going on, Jade? It's been a
chilling.
It's been a good week.
Nice.
Finally got that Gallowalkers pod out that everybody, you know, wanted to know in advance. I couldn't tell them because I'm still mad about it. So needed that pod to just come out so I didn't have to explain to a bunch of people why Gallowalkers was the pick. Just wanted the podcast to speak for itself.
Congrats.
Thanks indeed.
I heard you were at odds with Amin there.
I mean, that's not new though.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's there's the gif of Michael Scott, Andy Bernard and Dwight doing the three-way finger gun standoff. And that's basically every episode of Cinephobe. You never know who's going to take
it's
aim
like
at who.
Reservoir Dogs, essentially.
Right. Except we're not anonymous. We know exactly who everybody is, and that makes it a little worse.
I know it does. I've been trying to get a hold of Amin for like 3 days now. He doesn't even bother to text me back.
He's in a tremendous... He's been... I guess he had a whole issue with the Chicago airport. Go ahead and check out the Haber Show podcast if you want another version of that rant. He ranted on Twitter. He ranted on IG Live or on Instagram story. And then he took the monologue to the Haber Show. That's how he ended it. But
front
something about that, and then his body is falling apart on him rather quickly. So he's trying to deal with all of that. So he's a little bit cranky this week, I would say. A little bit of a cranky, I mean.
Man, how hard is it to text back somebody?
I don't know, man. That's a question that I have for many girls in my life, you know? How hard is it to shoot me a reply and just tell me you're not interested? How hard?
Yeah, just let me know.
I'd rather get shut down directly than have to imagine what could be happening.
Let me go. Let me know so I can go.
That's really the worst, though. When you send a text and your imagination just runs wild. That's all you've got is just, oh man, they read that and they don't like me and they're laughing at me right now or whatever insecure, anxious fantasy you come up with. And then they're just like, hey, I was in a massage. What's up?
Yeah, though, I've been there. Been there, done that.
Hey, I was with my family. Forgot my phone. Yeah. No big deal. How are you? Oh, you know, just
please
clawing my eyes out.
21 texts.
Ignore all the missed calls. It didn't happen. That wasn't me.
Yeah, you know. Been there. Done that.
It's a tough time, man.
No more, though. Past that stage in my life.
Yeah, congrats on the marriage.
Thank you.
I'm sure that was your number one requirement.
Marriage?
Christy, text me back.
Not only marriage, 10 years. Of
10
marriage.
Whole years of marriage. 10 whole years of getting texted back.
Yeah. Although that happened to us recently. It happened to us because, like, you know, it's all these predicaments where you know, I got to do something, and she's off with the kids, and I'm like, I need you to get home, and I'm texting and texting, and then she's like, I left my phone in the car. You know what I mean? It's like something like that.
So she's not answering yours, is what you're saying.
Or the kid has the phone. Yeah. Yeah.
So like, I was going to ask, like, so you're saying that who's more likely to not text back, you or Christy, like in a given scenario?
It goes either way, but it's like one of these things. If I do it, it's like a huge deal, right? You know, happened just recently. I was at home. I was doing stuff with the kids. She was texting me about something, maybe picking up food. I don't even know. Walks in, she's all pissed off at me. And I'm like, what am I going to do? I wasn't looking at the phone, you know? It's not like I sit here and wait for text messages all the time. But if I do it, it's like, you know, it's just standard stuff. You know, you're never the one to blame in your own head. And the other person's always the first one to blame in your head. So it's just the way it is.
Yeah, my girlfriend will send the urgent follow-up text. Like, why haven't you answered? You know, I'll get the, why haven't you answered yet? Like, if it's been like 10, 15
minutes. I'm ignoring you.
You're doing it on purpose, aren't you? You hate me, don't you? It's like, no.
Yes. Yes.
Well, yep, you're on to me. You figured it out. I hate you. This is how I'm letting you know. Not answering your texts.
The world would be better if we were just honest with each other, you know? It's unfortunate that God allowed us to be like we are. If God allowed us to be honest.
If God allowed us?
God.
What?
You know what I mean?
God. What God?
If it was like something.
What God?
Sorry, guys. I didn't want to lie, but God wouldn't let me be honest.
The invention of lying. Ricky
Gervais.
We're
getting there. We're getting there. We're getting there very soon. 100 years, you'll be able to detect what people are thinking. You know.
Those are the big three inventions. Those are the big three inventions.
The planet's not going to be here in 100 years.
The wheel, the planet fire. Will be here.
We're going to destroy this thing,
and
man.
Lying.
Oh, man.
Planet will be here. Man.
We need to be the last generation. That's what I want.
Just because you want to capture Earth, Zach.
In the history of the time of Earth, allegedly, it's such a small blip.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what do you mean allegedly?
I'm just saying. At this point, I don't know what's true anymore.
God's not allowing you to be honest, Zach. That's what's happening.
What is it? 4.6 billion? Is it? What is it now? Dinosaurs were here for hundreds of millions of years. Allegedly. I don't know.
I was just talking to someone about how...
Found some bones.
Scientists weren't really great at marketing because the Big Bang is like a pretty lame name.
Actually, I was just looking into something recently about the end of the Bronze Age and how rapidly it happens.
LeBron's still going.
It's like you had these like 7 or 8 empires, right? That kind of ruled the world, and they were all, you know, kind of in touch with each other. They're all trading copper, tin, all this stuff. And then it just like, I think it's like 1500 BC or so, it just disappears. Like it just collapses, like almost relatively speaking overnight, you know? And the theory is that there were these sea invaders, these invaders that came from the sea and just dismantled these societies. But up until then, you had like a pretty stable global world of societies and stuff like that. But it really happens fast. That's the thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We can't be trusted. We will ruin everything. Yeah. Just look at look at any series finale, just about.
The Egyptians were the kind of the big hub of that. You know, but then I was just getting into it. Then I was like, I had enough of this. These professors, they know so much. We think
something.
They go.
No, I mean, no, we're not going to. We're done. I'm done with the Kyrie Irving approach to everything. Okay. We're not doing this shit anymore. I'm not having it.
I mean, so much of the ancient history, though, is like based on this thing that was found in a, you know, archaeological dig, and they make a bunch of assumptions off of it. It's like a large scale assumption off of this one thing.
Sure. Sure. Well, not one thing. There's an accumulation of things.
But it's not questioning
things ultimately. Just for the sake of questioning is not intelligence. And that's the Kyrie Irving approach of like, we can't do this shit anymore. Question things, but not just like, well, I don't know about that. Like, I'm done with that shit. I'm so done with that generation of pretending to like challenge authority. You're not challenging shit. You're being an asshole for the sake of being an asshole.
With that ancient history, though, is a lot of assumption. Like,
there's assumptions, but there's assumptions in everything. So the approach is, we have an accumulation of all these different factors. You know, spoken word, written word, you know, hieroglyphics, this beat artifact poetry. Matches with this artifact, which matches this, right? Slam poetry, beat poetry, you know, Anthony Canton III's book of poems. Like, we have all these things that factor in. Shout out to Selfish. I think that's what it's called, right? Just put it back on my bookshelf as I unpack this apartment. We have all these things. And yes, there are assumptions, but they're educated assumptions.
Well, yeah, I mean, I said this about Kyrie before, like, his stuff is so off the wall, it doesn't really even make sense. Like, I don't even know what he's talking about. And I'm a conspiracy guy, you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, when
you're like, I don't know, Kyrie, this seems 39.
The questioning everything is just being an annoying teenager to your parents, right? It's like, hey, Kyrie, can you fold your clothes? Why do I have to fold my clothes? Why do we fold clothes?
Who says? How come the clothes don't fold us? Or maybe they do.
Sounds like Sadie and Joseph.
Exactly. Right.
Joseph's like, why? And so
I think we should question how like American history is taught, right? And we should question how like European history is taught to Europeans. We should question like the local part of that. But the idea of like, well, nothing can be believed because we don't know anything is kind of stupid.
Let me tell you, Zach.
There's a difference between questioning and saying like nothing can be proven, right? Like there's these huge gulfs between those two things. And the first one is good, the latter is kind of dumb. And faux intelligence.
I went to bilingual school, so I took half my classes in French, half my classes in English for like through 8th grade. So we had English history, and then we had French history, and we had English math, and then we had French math. And, you know, like with math,
Canadian?
It was basically geometry and stuff, and in U.S. math, it was algebra. But with French history, it was so friggin' hilarious because they told the entire history of the world through the French perspective. They only cared about what the French people were doing in the 1200s, what the French people were doing in the beret in the 1600s. It's like, get it.
What kind of school is this?
It was a French American school, Jade.
These bears, man, let me tell you.
Wow.
We took in all of the French 20-somethings that came to San Francisco in the 90s and early 2000s, and we gave them a job teaching. Hey, you need something to do? You're French. You can teach French, right?
With the French out there?
Yeah.
Historically?
I mean, not like in tremendous amounts, but I just mean that, you know, when you're a kid, you don't really think about who your teachers are. And most of the time, people's teachers are like 20-something Americans, right? And you like think that they're older than they are or whatever. But most of the people that taught me in school, at least all the French classes, were French immigrants in their mid to late 20s. And like, that's such an interesting... That's who molded me and a lot of my classmates growing up was French expatriates.
That explains
it. Amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. I didn't know this was even possible.
Well, it's like
it's not just amazing. It's a maze like a Montessori thing.
It's a maze thing.
Was it Montessori?
It's not Montessori. No.
No.
It's not public, obviously. What is
but,
it?
No, it was a private school, but it was
but
just
not
half
religious.
French. Not religious.
Monte Morris story?
Daryl Morris story?
Monte Ellis story?
But you know how, I mean, this was definitely more of a my generation thing, but basically when you graduated college, a thing that a lot of people did was go teach English in China or Thailand or whatever.
Thing. That was a
and
big
just,
thing.
It's just the opposite. It's like go teach French in America.
That was a big thing.
Infiltrating. So they're mad about the war.
I mean, they'll be forever mad. They'll be mad about the war. They'll be mad about the French language being replaced. Yeah. They got a lot of beef.
Well, the beef. You know what? Maybe don't sell Louisiana if you're so upset about it, okay? Maybe don't do that.
Talk about return on investment for that. Woo! Oh, can you imagine if they still own Louisiana?
Woo!
If you clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
That would actually be kind of crazy,
a bad
man.
Deal.
That was definitely a bad deal, yeah.
That's an interesting aspect of the Civil War, as a matter of fact, is that there's this, I think there's a notion that this the Confederacy was just kind of white Southerners, like from America, but there was a lot of other, like the French, for instance, right? Taking over New Orleans was a big aspect of the Civil War, and that was a heavily French city. But then you had all these other kind of rambling, rogue things. You ever watch what's the bear movie there with Leo?
Revenant?
The Revenant.
Revenant, yeah.
It's kind of like these groups of whoever. I mean, it was foreigners, there were Germans and whatnot. You know, and
that
part
bear
of like
movie
was just getting order established across the land so that they could make their way out west. Taking over the Mississippi River was huge in that war. So but yeah. It's fascinating stuff. I didn't have any of that option in New Britain.
So according to officialdata.org for the inflation calculator.
Yeah.
In 1800, right? So when was the Louisiana purchased? Like 1803 or something, 1802, 1801. When is it? I know it was early 1800s. So
Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, 1803. So it was estimated to be about $2.6 billion, right, total for the purchase, which today is worth $56.4 billion.
That's it?
That's it.
I thought it'd be more.
I thought it'd be way more. So, yeah, France fucked up.
They blew it.
Oh, my God.
But there's got to be a quid pro quo somewhere else.
What's up?
I'm wondering if there was a quid pro quo somewhere else, like something else they got in return.
Interesting.
Under the table.
Yeah.
But we weren't moving around the oceans then, so.
That's true.
I don't know what they'd give us.
We had $2.6 billion just laying around?
It wasn't until 100 years later that the U.S. became like a colonial empire, and that was the Spanish-American War.
You know who closed that deal, Zach?
Who?
Thomas Jefferson.
Oh. Yeah, Tommy J.
You know
Tommy
how J? Thomas Jefferson was stacking cash? Slavery. Oh,
yeah.
Tommy J. Wait.
Congratulations, France.
What's I going to say? Shoot. Oh, man. I'll think about it. Yeah. It's fascinating. But yeah, history going way back. I don't even know how they. Some of this stuff.
And
some of this stuff, like 100,000 years ago, science is like, wow. You know? Because like, they'll find another thing and it'll radically shift the whole paradigm. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure, yeah. But that's what it's supposed to do,
right?
As we get better technology, as we get better technology and we can do stuff with that, like, yeah, of course that stuff's going to change.
Well, yeah, it's like when you find a couple bones and, you know, they put together the whole sketch of what the dinosaur looked like or whatever, and then you find the jawbone, Jade, you're like, wait a second. we have to make this fit now. That's weird.
You remember
60
seeing
years
the
ago, we were giving people cocaine for the dentist visit, okay? Like, things are going to change.
Oh, more than that.
All right, Zach, I got your analogy. I got your analogy right here, Zach, for this Louisiana purchase. Okay.
Yeah.
Guess who's? So we know Thomas Jefferson negotiated it. Who sold it for France? Napoleon.
Yeah.
Napoleon is the ultimate GM who is not thinking about the long-term plan.
So, for sure. Well, and, he was probably, surprise, Napoleon came up short.
But he probably... there. I mean, I don't know. I'm just guessing, but maybe he needed the money for the wars he was
exactly.
waging.
Exactly. He sold sure. it. He sold Louisiana so he could go fight war. Wars.
Yeah, and if then you think about it, he had a real him complex, you know?
Was he bald, too? He wore that hat sideways. Was that him?
No, that's true. He wore that hat like a motherfucker. Yeah. Which makes me think he had the Friar Tuck, you know?
The sideways hat. Makes me think he had the Friar Tuck. How'd they deal with that in the wind? I'm curious.
No one respected him until he started killing people, right? Like, that you wear a hat like that, you're like, come on. They probably called him like Pole or something, or Leon.
Oh, he's got some real wispy bangs trying to cover that head, Napoleon.
He was quite a general. Quite the general.
But he went all in. He went all in, apparently trying to take over the world. And he forgot about Louisiana. He just sold Louisiana off for parts.
Yeah, he tried to take over the world. And how did that work for him?
When was...
I mean, about as good as every other conquering emperor.
When was Cinco de Mayo? What year was that?
May 5th.
Because that was the French getting booted from Mexico, right? I believe.
1862.
And the Alamo has something to do with the French, I think, right? 1862. So wow.
That's well after the Louisiana
after the
Purchase.
Civil War.
Yeah. Good Lord, man. They're terrible at, like, wars. I wonder they're so.
I've never been to Mexico. Have you ever been to Mexico?
Oh yeah.
Like, there must be parts of Mexico where you would see French culture somehow, I would imagine.
Well, probably. I mean, I haven't been. I've been to more like touristy spots,
right?
Than
yeah.
Yeah.
I see
the French influence in Cabo San Lucas's luxury hotel experience.
I've seen the Dreams Resort. Yeah,
bro. Oh my God, when I went to Greece, I got some stories. Holy cow. Wow.
Those Greeks get down, man.
Very awkward when you're there with your new wife. Let me just say
that. Mm-hmm. A lot of looking up in the sky. Like, oh, wow, look at the sun's out today.
Christy and I went to this really obscure beach. I don't even know if it was a beach. We were just on one of the islands. I think we were at Rhodes. And we just kind of went to the beach as soon as we got there, plopped down. It was just me and Christy. Mm-hmm. Until these other two ladies showed up.
Yep.
And I'm just like, this is so weird. Felt like Austin Powers, you know?
Your leg.
Yeah, baby.
Out of the water.
Totally. I mean, it was just like, I didn't know what to do. You know, you just like, you kind of like peek over there. You feel weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard not to. It's like,
of course, conditioned to.
It's Austin Powers. It's also two lovers in a tub.
That was the first time I think it was Mexico. It was the first time I experienced nude beaches was Mexico. I was like, yo, what up? And then the Speedo came.
Oh, love a Speedo, man. Bro. Speedo, because I don't like my legs being constricted, you know? That's why I don't like wearing pants.
Bro.
I like to move freely. And, like, Speedo, it constricts the package. But the legs, man, you can do anything. Roundhouse kicks, everything.
I do appreciate, like, the European, they just have, they don't care. Like, it's not, they're not self-conscious like we are.
No, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, where they were like, you know, the European approach to, like, monogamy is just like, oh yeah, there's a summer fling, and it's just fine, you know, for a lot of people. It's like, it's a very different approach to over here.
Oh man, I watched Vicky Cristina Barcelona with my girlfriend. Want to talk about it's casual summer flings and it's fine. Yeah. Holy shit.
Man.
I can't put, like, this takes me back to when Amin said that Javier Bardem wasn't sexy. Get the fuck out of here. Watch that movie.
He's out of his mind.
No
man.
Chance. That
oh my God.
Are not,
what's it called?
It's called Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Yo.
It's Woody Allen, but it's Scarlett Johansson and Rebecca Hall go to Spain. and they meet Javier Bardem. He's an artist, and he just walks up to their table at a restaurant, and he says, good evening.
Hey, ladies. Good evening.
Would you like to come with me to this small village? We will drink wine. We will experience the culture. We will make love.
Would you like to come with me to this small village? We will drink wine. We will play music. We may play checkers.
We may play checkers.
Chess. We will experience the culture. And then we shall make love.
That's it. That, right that's off it. The top.
And one, yeah, when you look like when you look like Javier Bardem, that's really all you have to say.
And if they say right. no, he doesn't care.
He doesn't care. No, he just goes on. To the next table.
Oh, and then he says, "We leave in 1 hour." That he was the best part. The exploding
this.
Offer. You gotta hit him with the exploding
he is very
offer.
Good looking in this
oh, it's
one.
An exploding offer, my friend. Oh, let me
yes,
tell you,
indeed.
He's very good looking here. So are the ladies.
Oh yeah, he's smoking. He's a
and
smoke
then,
show.
Just to cap it off in that movie, they bring in Penelope Cruz.
Of course,
why not?
Yeah.
Wasn't enough.
Need more off. Sex appeal yeah. on that. It is a
it
sexy
off,
movie.
Who's the
Jade
Wynn?
Rebecca Hall.
Hall.
Yeah. baby.
Jade, when's the last time you watched Roadhouse?
Years.
Okay. Do you remember how Sam Elliott looks in that movie?
Mm. Let's see.
Let me just.
Oh, my God.
Spoiler Woo! Alert for this coming. This coming Wednesday on Cinephobe, Sam Elliott in Roadhouse made me fucking horny. Like, I was turned. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Look at that hair.
Oh, my God. No, and he's constantly brushing it back. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing, Jade, okay?
Mace,
he knows how to
hair.
Work the screen.
Mace, you got
oh,
that hair.
God.
Yeah, I mean, he's. But I don't have the salt and pepper that he does.
No,
you know? Like,
he's a smoke show.
Because the thing is like. His hair is basically white
shit.
Now, but he's one of those early going gray guys, and it does not
You're
matter
back.
At all.
Yeah,
it just shows that he can. He's timeless. Sam Elliott is
he's
timeless,
completely timeless. Yeah,
babe.
He'll be having sex until he dies. 100%.
Be having sex when he dies. Yeah,
yeah. That's probably the way he's gonna go.
Zach, so I've got a trivia question for you here.
All right.
Danish artist Jens Hanning was paid $84,000 by the Kunsten Museum of Modern Art for two blank canvases that he turned in. They make up a new work that he calls what?
You got robbed.
Basically, it's Take the Money and Run.
Really?
Is the name of the art.
It's pretty close.
And he said,
that's pretty close.
The work
hold on
is
a second, hold on.
That I have hold taken on, I got it. Their money.
That's amazing. Hold on 1 second. I'll be right back.
Major solo.
Welcome back to the Cephalopod. Where I, Anthony Mays, talk about Danish artists who do performance art in the sense of turning in empty work and then saying that the work that they did was stealing the money. Genius stuff. Next level stuff. Imagine if I put up a blank podcast and named it Take Your Ears and Run. Because you listen to me talk. You listen to the empty podcast, and that's the art. The art is that there is no art. Genius. Genius stuff.
Sounds like the washer and dryer have arrived.
Oh, that's what's happening, yeah. Zach is about to do laundry for a long, long time. That's interesting that they're letting him install the washer and dryer and that the washer and dryer was not already a part of the unit. I'm curious about that. We'll have to ask him when he comes back because that's interesting. Normally
it's pretty big time to have it though. Do
it's
anything.
Huge. It's a game changer, especially with all of his complaints about laundry room etiquette and Jay, did you know that there's a coin shortage?
There has been.
People are using more coins, or people are taking more coins and not spending them as much.
There has, that started.
People are staying home.
Yeah, that's been around for over a year now, but it's gone here. It's not. There's no shortage here anymore.
Because it's hard to get like a roll of quarters to do your laundry at this point because there's a coin shortage. It's pretty wild.
There might be a dollar bill shortage too.
I mean, if they got rid of coins, would you miss them, Jade?
No.
If they got rid of dollar bills, is that too far? Is that a step too far?
I mean, I hardly ever carry cash, quite honestly.
I hardly ever carry cash. The only way you carry cash around is if you work as like a bartender or like work in a restaurant. Like my friends who own the bar that I do trivia at, like they're always cash heavy, of course.
Well, wait, there are certain things you need cash for, if you know what I mean.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's pretty much what I use it for. But I don't know. Coins could go, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a coin shortage. Why not let's just get rid of them? just close it out.
They should have done away with coins a long time ago, especially like the penny. Where's the penny hanging around?
The penny could definitely go. I definitely don't need the penny anymore. Another trivia question was that dollar stores are officially dead because the last dollar store now has nothing that's under a dollar. It's all $1.50 or $2.
Yeah, that's been like that for a while.
So they've been struggling, but now they're officially wiped out. It's over.
Dollar store is just a cheap box store now, essentially.
Exactly. And it's all like, it's all stuff that they're not even getting probably firsthand. It's all like secondhand. Couldn't sell it here. Now we're going to move it to the dollar store type stuff.
Eden, you here? Did you make it?
How's Patty and Selma Eden doing? I wonder if she lost her voice doing more karaoke.
Says she's here, but she says she keeps getting kicked off.
She's here, but she's muted.
We're sorry. The number you have reached is not in service. Please check the number or try your call again.
Zach?
This is a recording.
Welcome back to the Cephalopod.
Jade,
are you here?
I'm waiting for my headphones to charge.
Seems to me you'd be a little more philosophical about it. And cut it the fuck loose. You know that fucking... That girl never told you she was married. Did she? And when a man sticks a gun in your face, you got two choices. You can die or you can kill the motherfucker.
Don't mean to bust up the party or anything, but my shift starts in a couple hours. Thought I'd go home and get a little sleep. Aren't you guys tired?
Doc, I'll get all the sleep I need when I'm dead. Thanks for the dance.
Prison walls, I'll fly away.